Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Covered in mud, lusting after the slop that was set aside for the pigs. That is the position in which the younger brother found himself in our reading for today. Broke, absolutely penniless. No doubt, he often found himself thinking back to where he had been not too long before. He had lived a life of plenty. His father had owned a sizable estate that provided all the food and all the clothing that he could ever need. There were servants to prepare the meals, do the cleaning, run the farm, and tend to all of his personal needs. But that was all gone now. Instead, he now lived a life of need. He had no food, no clothes, no help from anybody. His home was a field of filthy pigs. How could this have happened? How could he have fallen so far? How could he have found himself living a life that was just the opposite of what he had always grown up expecting? No doubt at this point, this younger son thought back to that fateful day when he had approached his father with all the boldness and the confidence of an arrogant young man. He approached his father and said to him, "Father, give me the share of your estate that will rightfully be mine." What arrogance and selfishness this young man had. He had essentially said to his father, "I wish that you were dead so that I can have your wealth." Oh, how this must have crushed his father to have his son say that his only real value was the monetary value that he was going to leave behind. His love and kindness as a father obviously meant absolutely nothing to this selfish son. Now, let's jump forward a couple of millennia to today, because I think sometimes we see something very similar happening in our world. As people go through life today, they realize how much easier it would seem to be if they could live as though God didn't exist, if they could just live their lives as they pleased. They don't want the interference of their Heavenly Father in their life. Oh, it would be so much nicer to just be able to sleep in on Sundays and not have to get yourself here. And it would be great to just be able to give in to the desires of the flesh rather than having to struggle with them day in and day out. If I didn't know that God was watching me, then I wouldn't mind keeping just a few extra dollars by cheating on my taxes just a little bit. Oh, but I still want God to bless me abundantly. Even though I don't want him in my life, I still want him to give me all I need and just a little bit extra too. Rain down the blessings, but otherwise, leave me alone. Maybe just bless me enough so I can afford that nice new car that I've had my eye on. You see, sometimes we find ourselves doing the exact same thing to our Heavenly Father that the Son did to his Father in our parable today. We say, "Give me all the prosperity that you can, but then get out of my life." We want to live as though there was no God. And so we essentially say to him, "I wish you were dead." Oh, what heartbreak and pain to have your love and kindness cast aside and a dollar amount put on your value. Perhaps, maybe just a little, we should see ourselves as this son in the parable. So, what did the son in the parable do? He decided to return home. He knew the hurt and he knew the pain that he had caused. He knew that this pain must certainly go beyond the capacity for human forgiveness. There's no way that his father would forgive him, but hopefully he would have enough pity left in his heart to at least give his son a lowly job. And so, as this disgraced son walks up the road to the estate that he once called home, he sees his father running towards him. The father hikes up his robes and sprints towards the son. He's driven by so much passion that he makes an absolute fool of himself. The son, at this point, though, must have thought that this passion was probably passionate anger that was driving the patriarch to such an extreme reaction. He must have assumed that the father was propelling himself at such a pace in order to immediately meet his son and say something along the lines of, "Get out of here, you ungrateful son. I never want to see your face again." But here is the unexpected turning point in the story, which would have absolutely caught off guard all those people who are listening to Jesus tell the parable. It was certainly unexpected enough that a son would ask his living father for his inheritance. But this point in the parable is even more shocking. In spite of all the pain and anguish that was caused by this rotten son, his father wasn't angry, but he was actually completely overjoyed to see him. Even before his son could say a single word, he hugged him and started to kiss him. His love for his son still overflowed in spite of what had happened. In fact, he was so overjoyed that he didn't really care that he had made a fool of himself. And he didn't even care about what must have been going through the minds of everyone who was watching this scene. Isn't that the son who had embarrassed his father by wishing he was dead? Does he have no pride? Surely that isn't the son who took half of his father's estate. Is this man so desperate that he would take back such a son? Not only does the father take his son back, but he restores him to where he was before. He places the best robe on his back, puts a ring on his finger, and new shoes on his feet. This son was receiving the reception of a prince when all he deserved was the reception of a reviled criminal. If we see ourselves as this son, then we also receive this reception of a prince when we deserve something far less loving. Too often, we live a life of rebellion against God, wishing that we could live outside his realm, actively doing things that are contrary to his desires. We come to him when we need something, but then forget about him once we receive it. But just as the father in the parable showed forgiveness beyond any human capacity, so also our Heavenly Father shows us forgiveness beyond any human capacity. Though all we deserve is death and hell, when we come back to him, showing the brokenness and neglect that result from trying to live our lives apart from him, he is truly overjoyed, forgetting all that we have done, and he embraces us. He restores us to the place of royalty in his kingdom. This father loved us so much that even while we are still in the midst of our sin, actively working to flee from him, he sent his son to die for us and to restore us. Even when we had convinced ourselves that we could live our life apart from him, he was preparing a place within his heavenly household. Through Christ, we were brought back to our loving Father. He showed us that he loved and cared for us so much that he would die to restore his lost children. There is no greater love than this. Our Father shows us love that is beyond our wildest imaginations. No matter how much we rebel against him, he has promised that he will always receive us back. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to end the story? The son has been returned. The father has shown him extraordinary love and forgiveness. We have seen the love that our father has for us. What a happy ending. What more can there be to say? But there is more. the last verses of this parable give us a different perspective, which we also need to see. There is something in the last verses that is very important for everyone here today to hear. After this wonderful reunion between the father and the younger son, the father orders that a banquet be put on to celebrate the return of his son. Well, the older brother, who has been busy working his fingers to the bones in the fields, is now approaching the house. He hears all the sounds of an elaborate party and calls over a servant. When he asks the servant what is going on, he is told that his younger brother has returned and his father is throwing the party of the year. This enrages the older son. All of his life, he has been faithful to his father. He has done all that has ever been asked of him. The older son has been all that his father could ever ask for. And so the older son refuses to go in and celebrate the return of his rebellious, good-for-nothing brother. In fact, he doesn't even refer to him as his brother anymore. Instead, he just says, "This son of yours." His father pleads with the older son to come in and to celebrate. His father begs him to rejoice that his brother has returned and is restored. But the parable never actually tells us whether that older son ever went into the party. I know that so far we've tried to identify ourselves with the younger son. We've seen ourselves as a rebellious son who repents and is restored. But let me challenge you now for just a minute to see yourselves as the older brother. And here's why. At one time, we were the younger brother. We were lost and alone, but now we've been found. Now we can see ourselves as those who are in the kingdom, working to serve our Father. We strive to please God and to do His will. But there are still those out there living the life of the younger son, living to the best of their ability apart from the Father. Sometimes these people do things that disgust us. They do things that we know are repulsive to God. They support the killing of babies in utero. They don't see a problem with sex before marriage. It's really no big deal. They're just not as holy as we are. When we see these people, sometimes we can wonder how God can possibly love them as much as He loves us. And when they wander into our churches, still covered in the filth of sin, we can have this tendency to plug our noses and try to stay away from the stench. We forget that even though these people may be gross sinners, they are still dearly loved by God. And when they come to our churches and hear the gospel, they might just choose to stick around. And it isn't surprising that they're going to be completely transformed overnight. So we need to welcome in these people still covered in sin and celebrate with God that they have been returned to their Father. Even though we may have spent our entire lives striving to do the will of God, these sinners are welcomed into God's kingdom and placed beside us as our equal brothers. As we look at this parable, we see a loving Father whose love defies all reason and accepts back the most rebellious of sons. No matter what his son had done, his father loved him and welcomed him back. We know just such a father because our heavenly Father has done the exact same thing. He has welcomed us back and he has restored us. But he also encourages us to reach out to those who are still lost. We spend our lives in our Father's kingdom, but then those who have rebelled against God want to come in and have all of their rebellion just forgotten. And at this point, we must remember that we at one time were just the same as these people. So just as the Jews welcomed in the Gentiles, of which most, if not all of us, belong, we too must welcome sinners into our midst. We welcome these people and celebrate that we all once were lost, but now have been found by an amazingly loving Father. Amen.